here is a call for rest. And we see that God calls us to rest in three ways. At the very first, he calls us to rest in Christ's person. Do you remember? The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Remember what the tabernacle was? It was that tent that God had built while they were yet in the wilderness. After the Israelites had been brought out of Egypt, God commanded a tent to be built. And if you can think about this, God decided to dwell among the Israelites with all of their problems and with all of their sinfulness and with all their complaints and with all their self-righteousness. And the Lord Jesus has chosen to be with you. He wants a relationship with you. And he never leaves us. Never does he leave our homes. It doesn't matter how self-righteous or self-pitying or crabby or stinky we are. He is always there with us. And we find that there's a place for us to find rest when we are upset and when we're burdened. When we look at ourselves and we recognize that we lack in so many ways, there is one we can look to who's perfect. Whereas we could stay down here saying, Lord, I'm so this and I'm so that, there is deliverance to say, Lord, I'm thankful that you're righteous. Lord, I'm thankful that you're holy. And so in the tabernacle, there were amazing things to behold. This was a building that would have been worth millions upon millions of dollars, fashioned out of gold and silver. The work that was done upon Aaron was of the very highest quality. And there was gold and gemstones. It was an amazing work. It was praiseworthy, really. And when we behold the Lord's character, if we feel that we are unable to cope and there's no hope and there's nothing beautiful, so we might as well just eat and drink and be merry because tomorrow we die. Well, open up the book of Matthew. Open up the book of Luke. Open up these Gospels and read of the way he conducted himself. And there you'll see his glory. Look at how he walks, and you'll find someone to behold. You'll find something good, something noble, something praiseworthy to think on. So we find rest in the person of the Lord Jesus. But you know what? There's something even more than that. There's something more than the tabernacle. Because you see, when we walk, if one was to walk into the tabernacle, or if one was to walk into the temple, it speaks so much of the glory of God. These things done in the most precious of ways, with the very most expert of hands, the columns and the stones fitted in such a way we would see God's glory. But how do we find comfort in the tabernacle? How do we find comfort in the temple? There's such glory that is due to his name. In fact, God is so glorious that we find that the tabernacle is actually described in very, very detailed descriptions two times in the same book of Exodus. And the first time it's described on how it's to be done to the very smallest point. And the second time we find that the two men that God had chosen, Bezalel and Aholiab, to oversee the work, they completed it, and they completed it completely to the very nth degree. All the T's crossed, all the I's dotted. The glory of God, that everything that was due to his name was done. And it was done to the very best degree that man could do it. Really, it was God's work because he had put his spirit into Bezalel. But there's more. Because there are so many people who want and I will acknowledge the good of God's glory and the beauty of his law. A Buddhist will tell you that we should follow friend, we should believe in friendship, and we should be noble, and we should be courageous. And indeed, many other various peoples of this world will tell you those things, and they'll agree with that. And perhaps that's why many people say that we must be worshiping the same God, though it's indeed a lie. What they don't see is that though there are things that are beautiful, and though there is righteousness to be followed, we can't do it. And so to walk in the tabernacle, to behold God's glory, it would cause fear in the heart. But you know what? The tabernacle wasn't complete when it was set up. It wasn't complete until Leviticus 1. Because the best and the most precious part of the tabernacle was the blood that was spilt upon it. That is what made it precious. And if you can imagine that God would take what we would consider to be perfect, what was fashioned and beautifully carved and beautifully inlaid, and he would sprinkle and he would spill blood upon the bronze altar, and blood upon the tunic, and blood upon the altar of incense, and blood running down the Ark of the Covenant. We not only rest in Christ's person, in who he is, but we rest in what he's done. And that's what this man says here. He talks about the courts. He talks about how his flesh cries out for the living God. But he says in verse 3, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They shall still be praising you. The tabernacle that speaks of God's glory becomes the dwelling place of the child of God. And we can enter in and dwell there because the fire on the altar has been put out. Have you ever seen a sparrow? It'd be hard to eat it for lunch. They're not worth very much, and they're not very pretty. We read in the New Testament of how cheap they are. 5 sparrows for a copper coin, because they're practically useless. And we of ourselves, we're nothing. But we've been called his children. And now we have a place, we have a home. We've found a nest, and it's on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That righteousness that once caused us to be afraid is now the same righteousness that protects us, because God will not lie. When he says that we're forgiven, when he says that every sin was judged on the Lord Jesus, then we know that it's true. God's righteousness upholds us. And so we thank God that we not only can find rest in the person of the Lord Jesus, in how glorious and righteous and holy he is, but we can find rest in that pierced right hand that lays his hand upon John and says, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lived and was dead. But then he says something more. I am alive forevermore. And so the psalmist here not only finds hope and rest in the person of Christ and in the work of Christ, but look what he says next. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. They haven't burnt out. They haven't rusted out. They haven't lost hope. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. You know what a pilgrimage is? It's when you're taking a trip to a holy place. For us, we're taking a trip to Zion. We're taking a trip to the New Jerusalem. We are headed to heaven. Heaven is our home. And as they pass through the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, they make it a spring. It's not a dry place, but the tears and the suffering that they endure is the fruit that speaks of the fact that they're going the right way. And as Christ suffered and rose, we suffer and rise. And we're on our way to the cross, through the grave, and on to glory. And so he says that he knows that God is his shield. He knows that he's anointed, that he belongs to the Lord. And he says this as a son, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." And so it's no problem for him to have an older house if he's 10 minutes within the meeting hall. It's no problem for him to have a less paying job if it means that he can do more for his family and for his God. To set aside this world, it's not a difficulty because he sees what Christ has done for him. He sees blood on the gold, and it's won his heart. And so the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, as we've heard, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, gives that person the strength, gives us that desire and that determination that God has made a promise and I can dwell and rest upon it. His home is my home and I'm going to go to him. Let me be ready. And so we find three ways to rest here. When we are tired, when we are tempted, when we want to just give up and give in to what the world would say, we find a place of rest. Rest in the person of Christ and who he is. Rest in what he has done for you. Rest in the promise that he has made. He's coming again, and he is taking us unto himself. Notice who this is written by. It's written to be played on an instrument of Gath. Gath was a Philistine city. It was a Gentile city. And it was written by the sons of Korah. Remember Korah the rebel? He died, but his sons lived on, we read in Numbers 26. But the Lord Jesus has made us kings and priests to God. Behold, he lives, the person of Christ. He died, the work of Christ, and he is alive forevermore. May that be our comfort and our focus in these last days.